Okay, we are in Sefer Chovos al Avavot. We are in Shaar Avodas Elokim, Perek Tes. Hechin HaBore L'Tzorkech Shnei Yoatzim. Hashem made for your purpose in this world two advisors. We're discussing here the purpose of man in this world. Hashem made you two advisors. V'natan lecha mesharetim v'shamashim kedei tzorkech v'olam hazeh. Echad mishnei ha'yotzim hu ha'seichel, which he also calls the Yetzer HaTov, ha'melemed otach mahu ratzon hakel. The goal of the Yetzer HaTov is to guide you towards that which is the will of Hashem. V'yoyet ha'sheni hu ta'avatech. And the second one is your taiva, which he calls the Yetzer HaRa. Ha'mefateh o mesit otach la'asot dvarim she'tach'iti v'hem et Hashem elokayich she'bara otach. ואחד משני הסופרים כותב את מעשיך הטובים שאת עושה בסתר וגלוי ומצפון ליבך ונראה לעין ועל ידי כל המשתמשים בהיכל והסופר השני כותב את מעשיך הרעים באותו דרך שעושה הסופר שכותב את מעשיך הטובים. Let me just say it in my own words. There's external and there's internal. There's external actions which are obviously bad and external actions are obviously good, judged by the halacha. You can clearly see what that is. And then there's the internal. Sometimes an external action which is good in your inner world may come from a bad place. You might be learning Torah, but it's coming from a place in you of pressure to prove yourself, how clever you are, and there's no element of goodness there. It might be worthwhile, it might be eventually you'll come to L'Shem Shamayim. But the external action might be good, but your inner world might be bad. Sometimes it could be the other way around. Sometimes, as they might happen in discipline, where the way that someone's relating to someone else may have a negative effect, may look externally negative, but ultimately it's coming from a place of love, a place of caring, as they're very, very sensitive. But since they know how to do it very well to ensure that it's done effectively. But you see that you can't necessarily judge one's outer actions, if they're good or bad. One has to primarily judge the inner world. Some people who are insightful are able to like tell a person what they're doing the way it's coming from within them. When they see the external action, they see the person's face, and they can see by the person's face, the person's response, the person's reaction, they can see straight through to their inner world, and they can say, this person, when they're doing what they're doing, where is it coming from within them? Is it coming from a healthy place or an unhealthy place? Now, the person itself sometimes is not sure. Sometimes they know for sure what it is. They want to be good. They have a sensitivity to want to do good and they can do it. Sometimes they feel they just want to get back at someone or they feel they don't care about something and they want to do something harmful. Like they feel that dafka push for the harm. And often there's an in-between place where a person is not sure. They have an option before them and they can't really tell. Is this a good thing to do? Is this not a good thing to do? And they're trying to make a decision and there's many, many factors at play. There's factors that are good factors, factors that are bad factors, and now you're in a troubled place because you want to do the correct thing, but you're not sure if this action you're going to do now, is that coming from a healthy place or an unhealthy place? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you an inner world of what he's defining here as the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, and with sensitivity, a person can tune in to where it's coming from. And I want to give a couple of guidelines to know, to try and identify. Nothing here is 100%, but these are guidelines towards how to identify if what you're feeling in any given situation is coming from the Yetzer Tov or the Yetzer Hara, and how to identify. So one guideline is, if you're thinking to do something which seems externally good, but you feel this sense of urgency, do it quickly, without thinking. You have to do it now. Push, don't. And there's a kind of a craziness that's coming over you, then if you debate that it might be from the Yetzer Hara, then it's very likely that that's from the Yetzer Hara. Rashi brings on the Chumash that when Bnei Yisrael came with the Zakenim first and then the Na'arim after, they came in like an orderly way, first the elders and the young came, and that was a good suggestion, that was coming from a good place. But when it was the young ones who were pushing ahead and trying to overtake the Zakenim and send a suggestion with no order, then that was coming from the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is tricked, and this is also true with like smooth-talking salesmen, is that they like get you so like caught up quickly in the thoughts without giving you a chance to really express your own thoughts. So you just say like, oh, I don't want to miss an opportunity, and it has to happen and quick, and okay, and you, before you know it, you... I think I told this story once before, but I want an insurance agent phone me. Can I tell this story? No? And for sure they phoned me. And was so smooth talking. And he was saying, he knew all my kids, I don't know where he knew the information, but he had all my kids' names. And he was saying, I told this story now. And, but the thing was, why I was able to like hold out against him was because for some reason he had my kids' second names, not their first names. I don't know how that happened. But he was saying, how's Shlomit? Thinking, who in the world is Shlomit? I go, oh, my oldest daughter's second name, oh yeah. And how's Yishayahu? Yishayahu? Oh, Hanania, yeah. And how, and he goes, I'm like, Baruch Hashem, who are you? He's like, do you care for them? Of course I care for them. Like, have you thought about their future? Not really. Like, who, what are you? He goes, I care for your children as much as you care for your children. I was wondering, like, let's think together how we can make... Now, because it wasn't my kid's real name, so I was already like in a like a very suspicious mindset of this guy already. And then he like went on and went on about like this taking care and security and future and then he says, so Tzvi, tell me, do you care about your children? I said, yes. He said, are you willing to invest in your children? I said, yes, but not with you. And I put the phone down. Because I was so caught up in what he was saying. Like if it wasn't for the fact that he was using my kids' last names, I could have fallen for it. Like, I didn't have a chance to, like, even think. So, like, I was saying yes, and I was saying yes, and I was caring, and I'm loving, and it's developing within me a sensitivity for what's correct. And I was getting, like, all mixed up and confused, and I couldn't say no. I almost gave him my credit card information. But no, put the phone down. I care about them, I care. I'm not going to say no. But not with you. It doesn't have to do. The Yetzer Hara's way is that he gets you to feel, and there's a phrase which is just, like, very true. They say, the goal of advertising is to arrest your mind for long enough for you to take out your wallet. Like a mamish. Like don't think. They have all these tricks to make you not think. And then as long as you're not thinking and then you pay, oh, very good, you do well. After it's like, what just happened there? You're like looking back. So if you're not sure if it's the top of the Yetzer Hara, and externally the action looks like it could be good. Like we divide it between actions externally and the inner world. So externally the action looks like it could be good. But you don't feel like it's coming from a place of you've like thought it through. You feel like there's urgency, you have to act quickly, and if you don't, you're going to miss out on something big, and that's probably the Yetzer Hara. Who's trying to arrest your mind, that you don't really think it through properly. So you make a decision which is not a good decision, and you'll regret it after. That's one way of learning to identify. Was the Yetzer Tov or was the Yetzer Hara? Another way, and this way is, in specific circumstances, if you're sensitive to it, you'll notice that when a decision comes your way, you'll have a very, very initial thought. An initial thing of what you could do, what you should do. One way or the other way. Good or bad. I'm not talking about what's good or bad. You'll have an initial thought. And then afterwards, then to justify that thought or to counter that thought, there'll be like tons and tons of svaras that will come. And you could lose the initial thought. Like initially you think to do it, and you have a reason why you want to do it, and you know what it is, but then you start justifying, oh, and it's good because of this, and it's good because of this, and it's good because of this, and then you even forget the initial reason why you were going to do it, and you like all these side benefits. Now, this could go either way. Let's give an example. Let's say you're offered the job as a gabbai in some place, right? And you feel that you really want to give and help. And your initial thought is like, I'm looking for an opportunity to do good. And the first thought that comes to your mind is, if I'm gabbai, I'm going to dafka find those people who don't always like get noticed, and I'm going to like give them a status. That's what I want to do. And then you think, oh, if I'm the gabbai, then when it's, and you start kind of thinking of all these things that you're going to like take advantage of it. And when my friends come, and I'm going to shoot this person, and I'm never going to get rid of that person again because his voice is... And you start like thinking of all these other things that happen, and then you start like justifying all good reasons why you should do it, and then you say, and I'll always be like standing up there and I'll be calling out. And when someone has a kid, I'll be the one to say the name of the kid. Like I'll call out the name, and the name is, yeah, what's the name, what's the name? And I'll give Misha Berach Sifo, and I'll make up my own Misha Berach. Like stop thinking of all these things you're thinking of. So now, is it good or bad to be the Gabba? Is it good or bad? For this person, it's good. Because their initial thought was their true place, which was emanated from a good place. Now all those negative things afterwards may make them say, I'm not doing it for the right reason, I'm not going to do it. And that's not true for them. Because it was the Yetzer Hara coming to them afterwards and saying, look at you, you're doing it for Lolishma, for more Lolishma, for more Lolishma, for more Lolishma. And they might end up dropping it. Because they're thinking, am I being the Gabbai for the right reason? I'm not. Look at all these Lolishma reasons I'm doing it for. But wait. Do you remember the first thought that came to your mind? That was your true place. That was the Atzat Hashem. The first initial thought that came to you. That was who you really are. So those secondary ones can move away. That's one way. And it could also work the other way, exactly the opposite. Sometimes you think to do something. This is more of a common one, unfortunately. Sometimes you think to do something, and it's something which is going to get at someone, or annoy someone. And it's do something negative. You think of this idea as negative, and that's why you think to do it. But then you start thinking of all these Lashem Shemayim reasons why you should do it. It will bring Nachas Ruach to Hashem, and long term it will make a Kiddush Hashem, and like, you think of all sorts of things as to why. Let me try and think of a real example. Someone asks you, let's say I would ask you, there's a guy in the high school the year below you, from your school, and he's thinking of Karen B'Avon. Can you tell me about him? Now, you think to yourself, oh, I don't want to have another year with that kid. I suffered enough in high school. Like, if he comes here, it's going to be the worst. That's the first thought that comes to you. Then you think to yourself, I can't say that. I have to say more L'Shem Shemayim reasons. His skill level is okay. It's okay. But it could be that, like, he would need a place that focuses more on, like, basic reading skills. It could be that would be more beneficial for him, and it would help him more. It would help him, it would be more beneficial for him. I think he's more of a person who needs, like, more of a chevra, and since from his school they usually go to some other yeshiva, I think, like, I was okay because, like, I'm not a chevra-oriented person, but, like, for him, I think that it's more important for him to do chevra. I don't think he would do as well in the chevra. Like, I care for him, and I want to be in a place that's good for him. And that sounds very L'Shem Shemayim, you know, etc. But then when he goes back and thinks, why am I saying this? Why? And he goes back to his first initial inner thought, that's who he really is. So then he should ask himself honestly, one second, is my dislike of this person a reason why I should stop him from coming to yeshiva, and that might be the best yeshiva for him? Stop. I'm harming someone. I'm damaging someone. Pause. Don't let my Yetzer Hara get in the way here. So this concept is the concept which could work either way. Could be for the Yetzer Hara, it could be for the Yetzer Hara, but just to recognize that the first initial thought is the true thought. And then afterwards the person builds on that structures and structures, towers and palaces of justifications or reasons or explanations in order to present it well, make it sound kind of more wholesome and real. But if you want to be true and honest, you have to go back to the initial first thought that came to you to identify what that is. And the third thing that I wanted to say on this matter is, and this one you have to be a lot more sensitive for, but if you can develop a sensitivity, it's very worthwhile. HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted within your Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, which means that you innately know when something is good or when something is bad through the feeling of either joy on satisfaction or feeling of shame. I'm sure everyone's experienced this, that you're about to go and do something, and you know that if you do that, you'll feel bad about it afterwards. And there's like a split second where you say, I shouldn't do this. If I do it, I'll feel bad about it. And then you do it, and then you feel bad about it. And then if you do that enough, you lose the sensitivity to being aware of the feeling you're going to feel bad about it just before. Because you always just do it, like when the thought comes to you. I'll give you an example that happened to me this morning. This morning, on Erev Shabbos, I took the umbrellas off the kind of front door of our front door, so the kids wouldn't open and play them on Shabbos, and I put them in like a place around the side, out of the way. And then this morning, I took my umbrella and started walking to shul, and I'm on my way to shul with my umbrella. I'm thinking to myself, my wife is going to walk out the house, and there's no umbrella there, and she doesn't know where I put it. And she's going to accompany the youngest child to kindergarten with no umbrella. That's not a good thing. Shalom bias, it's not a good thing. So I should go back. But I'm already on my way to shul. And that's frum to daven and come early to shul. I'm putting a spirit on time and be holy. It's a good thing. Surely my wife would understand and respect that. But I felt a sense of guilt when I was saying those holy things. And I recognize that's not true. That's your justification. If you're sensitive, you can feel a sense of guilt. Even if you're trying to justify it to yourself, you can tell that it's a justification. Because as you're justifying, you can sense yourself this feeling of guilt within you. That you're like, what you need to be covering up with all the justification. So I stopped, I went back, took out the umbrella from the place, I put it back on, and I came to Shacharis a little bit late. Not late, like late. 2 minutes later than I would have been. And it was worth it. Because I did the correct thing in that situation. If you become sensitive to your feeling of shame, to your feeling of guilt, you can even identify it before it happens. Not only after you've done the thing that's negative, even before, you can already be sensitive to, I know that if I do that, I'm going to feel guilty. And that's the Yetzer Hara, a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Yetzer Hara gives you. The feeling of shame, the feeling of guilt. Afterwards, it's a feeling which is supposed to help you do tshuva. But it's a gift that he gives you that feeling even before, if you're sensitive to it, for a split second. And if you pick up on that feeling of shame just before, and you learn that that is a message from Hashem and a gift from Hashem saying to you, hold out, don't do it, a gift, you can save yourself a lot of heartache. The Yetzer Hara is on your team, really. Really, the Yetzer Hara is on your side. Really, the Yetzer Hara loves you and is helping you. Just the Yetzer Tov is helping you by showing you good feelings for doing good, and the Yetzer Hara is showing you negative things for doing bad. And both of them are working for you. Both of them are positive. Tov, the Yetzer Tara. Tov me'od, sorry, Tov, the Yetzer Tov. Tov me'od, the Yetzer Hara, Chazal say. And the Yetzer Hara is working for you as well, if you're sensitive to it. You could ignore it the first time and do the Avera. You could ignore it the second time and not do Tshuva. You could miss both signs. But he gives you a split second of shame as you're about to do something so that you can catch it in time. And then he gives you a much bigger feeling of shame afterwards that you can learn to do Tshuva. If you do it a few times and you don't do tshuva, then you won't even feel that anymore. Yetzer Hara already has kind of overtaken and you won't feel the sense of shame or just become more natural to you to do bad things. But if you learn the sensitivity, and on the opposite as well, when you're coming to do something good, you will feel a sense of satisfaction. A sense of inner satisfaction. I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing what's pleasing in God's Baruch Hu's eyes. You won't feel the same sense of like needing to justify, to prove it, none of that. You'll just feel like this is basically good. This is basically giving me a feeling of satisfaction. I'm doing the right thing. And that's an inner sensitivity that a person can develop of the Yetzer Tov and of the Yetzer Hara to know ahead of time what the right thing to do is. V'tziva ha-borei yisbarach l'shorim, l'pekidim, l'avadim, l'yoadzim, l'mesharatim, l'meshamashim. He's referring here to inside of every person have many faculties, inner faculties. The Gra, I have it at home, I can show anyone's interested. The Gra has a kuntrus of 70 inner faculties that man has. The 70 inner parts of one's soul. Fascinating. So here he's referring to the different ones. The power of holding back, the power of pushing forward, the power of submitting, the power of guiding. לצאת לך ולעמוד תחת פיקודתך למשך תקופה מסוימת. All these inner kochot, all these inner forces that you have, the power of memory, the power of imagery, all these kochot, these powers that you have, Hashem makes them in a way, very clever what Hashem does, He makes them in a way that if you choose to take control of them, they will control you, you will control them, and if not, they'll control you. I just like, children and animals are the same like this. If you have a little kid, they're in the same category here, when they're young. Let's start with an animal. If you have an animal that when, a pet, right, like a dog or a cat, and you train it when it's young, like it doesn't come and sleep in the house, and that it knows to go outside when it needs to go outside. You train it, then it will be subservient to you, and it will follow your rules. But if you're very free with it, and you don't give it clear guidelines and boundaries, then it will make a mess in a place it's not supposed to, and it knows that you're not clear in what you say. If you want to really mess up a child, then say no, and then change your mind and say, okay, fine. Numerous times, and you will mess up the child. A parent who has a clear boundary, the no is no, the child is okay, that's a no. I know that the parent's no is a no, then I won't stop annoying them. If the parent wants to mess up, then they say no and they say yes. Now what's the kid going to learn from that? What's they going to learn? Like, when my dad says no, it just means nudge more, that's what it means. And if he says no a few times, it means major nudging, that's what it means. Right? And the parents are ruining themselves, like they're harming themselves. And then long term it harms them even more, because then the kids don't respect boundaries that the parents set for them. So you have initial control over your children, over your pets, and over your inner kochot. You have initial control. And if you take control over them, if you learn to control your memory, if you learn to control your thought process, if you learn to control your imagery, if you learn to control when to push forward and when to hold back, if you learn how to control those things, then they will be your servants. And you will have control over your inner world. If you don't, if you allow your imagery to run wild, if you allow your memories to run wild, if you allow your giving in or your holding back to take control of you, then you're going to be in trouble. Because then even when you say, okay, I want to pull myself together, like your inner kohot, your inner forces have never learned to pay attention. They don't know that you're the boss. They don't know that you're the ruler. They don't know that you're the king. They haven't even knew that. And they laugh at you when you say, oh, look who's talking now. All of a sudden he thinks he's the boss. Like for all these years he's let us do whatever we want, and now he thinks he's the boss. So it's going to be much harder for you to then go and take control. So Kodesh Baruch Hu created them in such a way that if you choose to take control of them, you can take control of them. And even if initially you didn't, you can learn. You can stand up for yourself. However, if you don't take control of them, you'll find yourself in a very, very challenging place. This same principle is true in a very different area, and I'll finish with this, is when there's someone abusive in the family, then often why they're abusive is because the other person enables them to be abusive. Right? Not that we're blaming the person who was abused, but if it's someone who was enabling abuse, that means that they collaborate with them. They allow them to like be harmful, and then they just like submit themselves and give in. And part of the training that you give to kids or to wives who are in a relationship which is damaging, depends on what level, but if it's damaging, is where you teach them to like have an opinion and stand up for their opinion. And the one who is abusing, when he thinks there's a nobody in front of him, then he just abuses because there's no one there. Then he just takes control of the situation in a negative way. But when suddenly this person stands up for themselves and says, I won't be spoken to like that, I will treat you respectfully, you'll treat me respectfully, and they kind of give a backbone, and they say, I am someone here, and the person says, oh, okay, I didn't realize, and they start respecting. Meaning even the abuser will respect more a person who stands up themselves. There's an initial period which is very, very difficult, obviously. But then there's a period where suddenly their relationship gets much more healthy. Where suddenly they realize, okay, there's someone real here. There's someone who's like taking control. There's someone who's standing up for themselves. And even the abuser respects them. So with your inner kohot, with your inner strength, if you don't take control, they'll take control of you and you'll have a hard inner world. Once you learn that I'm the boss, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me in control, you can have power and you can take control and you can have a much more healthier spiritual life. Go ahead.
Yeah, come to my house one day.